Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Tabry's full year 2017 financial results analyst conference call. I will now hand over to your host, Mr. Saqib Somani from Tabry. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Saqib Somani from Tabry. On behalf of Tabry management team, I welcome you all and thank you for joining us for the full year 2017 results conference call. Before we begin our presentation, I would like to remind you that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Kindly refer to the slide two of presentation for the detailed disclaimer. I would now request you to turn to the slide three for today's agenda. Today's call will follow the usual pattern with Jassim, our CEO, providing a quick overview of the full year 2017 performance and the key events. Following that, Steve, our CFO, will discuss the financial performance in more detail. Jassim will then conclude the presentation, and we will open the line for your questions. With that, I will now hand over to Jassim to begin today's presentation. Thank you, and over to you, Jassim.
Thank you, Saqib, and thank you everyone for joining us today. I would like to begin by highlighting our full 2017 performance and providing a snapshot of the recent events. We are pleased to report another year of strong performance. Total revenue increased by 9%, led by a 13% growth in chilled water revenues. Our net profit increased by 9% to reach 400 million dirhams. This performance was driven by 44,000 tons of new capacity additions in 2017, higher consumption volumes, and CPI indexation. We are committed to adding value to our shareholders and are pleased to recommend a dividend of 8 fils compared to a 6.5 fils paid for 2016. This is 23% higher than the last year and reflects the cash savings on the MCB coupon payments. Going forward, the board of directors has adapted a dividend distribution policy to grow dividends per share in line with the growth in the business. Finally, for this slide, I would like to outline our revised capacity guidance for the next two years, 2018 and 2019. Based on current signed contracts in hand, we expect to connect at least 65,000 tons of new capacity over the two years, 2018 and 2019. Moving on to the next slide. This slide provides the usual overview of the company. Tabry is contributing to the region's growth through efficient and environmentally friendly cooling, enabling sustainable development. As our business grows, so does our positive environmental footprint. We currently operate 72 plants across the region, delivering almost 1.1 million tons of cooling. Our operations saved 1.53 billion kWh of energy consumption in 2017, and that's enough power to power 51,000 homes for a year. Moving on to the next slide. On the regional presence, Tabry is the only publicly traded district cooling company in the world. The UAE is our base of operations, where we have a presence in six emirates, providing over 770,000 tons of cooling to our customers through our 63 plants. In addition to the UAE, we work with key partners in four other GCC countries. We have a total of nine plants outside of the UAE, providing over 320,000 tons of cooling to customers. Around 65% of our capacity is consolidated, while the rest is equity accounted as associates and JVs. Moving on to the next slide. This slide outlines our capacity growth trends across the region. At the beginning of 2017, we announced that we expected to add at least 60,000 tons of new connected capacity during 2017 and 2018. During the full year of 2017, we added 44,000 tons of capacity across the region. Of this capacity, 17,500 tons were added at a consolidated level and 26,500 tons through joint ventures and associates. As I have already mentioned, based on recent and current signed contracts in hand, we expect to connect 65,000 tons of capacity over 2018 and 2019. Of this, we expect the split between consolidated level and equity accounted joint ventures to be circa 50 to 50. Tabreed continues to demonstrate its ability to deliver steady increase in connected capacity in the region, driven by the growth in our key markets across the GCC, and by successfully leveraging our regional network to take advantage of commercial opportunities as and when they present themselves. Moving to the next slide, this slide recaps a bit the evolution of our performance over the years. To summarize, Tabreed is a stable utility infrastructure business with long-term contracts with high-profile customers. This provides us clear visibility of future earnings and cash flows. We currently have 95% of our capacity contracted for at least 10 years. Tabreed has a track record of delivering profitable growth. Our EBITDA and net income has grown at 7 and 6% annually since 2014. And our stable earnings enable the company to maintain an attractive dividend payout. In line with our commitment to provide sustainable shareholder return, we are pleased to propose a dividend of 8 fils, which represents a 54% payout. I will now hand over to Steve and take us through the results in some more detail.
Thank you, Jassim. Good afternoon, everybody. Nice to be here again. Let me start with slide 11 on the income statement, and I'll just highlight some of the key developments and results for the year. We've registered, as Jassim said, 9% growth in both revenues and net profit, and our EBITDA grew by 8% in 2017. The revenue growth of 9% was led by a 13% increase in chilled water revenues, and that was driven by the following factors. New capacity additions, as Jassim outlined, have contributed 5%. The utility tariff increase in Abu Dhabi led to a further 6% increase, which was passed through to our customers. The 2016 published UAE CPI was 1.62%, which has already been passed on to the majority of the customers as escalation of capacity charges. And finally, additional revenue from Oman and Bahrain contributed about 1%. The reduction in order books at our pipe fabrication company was the main reason behind the 27% decline in revenue from value chain businesses. So I should add that that result did improve in the fourth quarter of 2017. Associates and joint ventures are up 10%, mainly reflecting new connections in Qatar and Bahrain. Finally, our gross profit and EBITDA margins remain broadly unchanged at 45%. Let's turn to the next slide to look at the statement of financial position. Our balance sheet is considerably simplified with the conversion of the mandatory convertible bonds into ordinary shares last year, and this accounts for the most significant changes to the balance sheet. The conversion resulted in a substantial increase in equity and a significant reduction in debt as the liability component of the bond was extinguished. The other significant movements were, first of all, an increase in receivables. This reflects timing delays in collections, but we have seen strong collections in January, and most of the overdue amounts have now been collected. And an increase, the second element, is an increase in the cash balance of the company to 418 million dirhams. Gearing at 40% is in line, maybe slightly lower than global utilities. In summary, to breed strong and robust balance sheet position as well for future growth opportunities. Let me now turn to the cash flow statement on the next slide. I'm pleased to report that Tabreed continues to generate strong cash flows, which are being utilized to invest in growth opportunities and provide dividend returns to our shareholders. Cash flow from operations remained robust with over 550 million generated. We continue to invest in new cooling capacity and paid about 100 million dirham for the acquisition of an ICT plant at the nation's tower on the Corniche in Abu Dhabi. Other additions during the year include Mirah in the UAE, Romal Castle in Oman, and expansion at the Yas Island plant. Finally, just to note that the MCP coupon payments ceased in June 2017, resulting in a cash flow benefit to the company of 43 million dirham in the second half of 2018. In summary, our cash generating ability remains robust, driven by long-term price-certain contracts enabling investment in growth. Let me now turn to our debt portfolio on the next slide. This is a slightly different version of this, of what we normally show you, but I hope you'll find it useful. We have over 3 billion of dirhams of debt, and as I said, a gearing ratio of about 40%. Net debt and net debt to EBITDA have declined since 2015, as the two charts on the left side of the picture show you. This reflects repayment of debt and strong growth in EBITDA over the period. In the bottom right corner, you see the debt maturity profile, which shows significant debt repayments due in 2021 and 2027. Which are the main final maturity dates of our main corporate facilities. Our debt is largely AED-based and floating rate, so we hedge a significant part of the debt into fixed rate through plain vanilla interest rate swaps. Our policy is to hedge between 50 and 75% of our debt, and the current hedge ratio is 57%. We expect to increase that ratio in coming months. Overall, we have a strong leverage profile and headroom available for funding future growth opportunities. That completes the detailed review of our full year results. Let me now pass you back to Jasmine.
Thank you, Steve. Before we open the lines for Q&A, we have a few closing comments on this slide. We have been pleased to welcome NG as a new major shareholder in the company. Tabreed has a strong shareholder base with Mubadland NG providing support to operations and growth. As a utility infrastructure company, Tabreed has a track record of delivering consistent results year on year. 2017 was another successful year for Tabreed, with a net profit increasing by 9% to reach 400 million dirhams. We provided capacity addition guidance of 60,000 tons to be added over the next 2 years, and we delivered 44,000 tons in 2017. We have now updated that guidance to add 65,000 tons over 2018 and 2019. Tabreed now has a more flexible capital structure to fund growth beyond this. As we have mentioned before, we will look at opportunities beyond the GCC, and I'm pleased to say that we are actively evaluating opportunities in North Africa and India. These are still in early stages, and we cannot be specific. We will be providing further updates if and when such opportunities materialize. That concludes the presentation now, and we can open the lines for Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Please lift your handset before you ask your question. Thank you for holding until we have the first question. Our first question comes from Ashi Agrawal, Decimal Point Analytics. Please go ahead. Mr. Ashish Agrawal, please go ahead. Our next question comes from Sanialak Manehambu, FAB Securities. Sir, your line is open.
Yes, Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. I wanted to understand a bit more your dividend policy, because it was a very big hike, and I think it will probably be the biggest hike in this dividend season. I know you basically said that going forward it will be going up with profit growth, rather with operating performance and all that. But then you also mentioned a 54% payout ratio. Are we to also read into that 54% is a minimum, and that going forward perhaps you can pay more than the 54% payout?
Yeah, thanks for the question. And with regards to the dividend question, in terms of the 8 fils and the 23% increase compared to the last year's dividend recommendation, I mean that's twofold. I mean, first it reflects the very strong performance for the company, with growth with net income and cash generation ability and strong EBITDA. And also the retirement of the MCB, the Mubadala bond, which there was additional savings in cash flow, so our ability to increase our dividend slightly. And what do we expect going forward? I mean, going forward, the board reviews dividend year on year, and would recommend to the shareholders a dividend in line with the company's performance. So as the company improves in performance, we would expect an increase to reflect such performance. With regard to the specific 54% payout, is that the minimum? I mean, it's not set in stone as a minimum, and it will be reviewed year on year.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that.
Our next question comes from Ashish Agrawal, Decimal Point Analytics. Sir, please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. My question relates to the expansion plans. You said that you are going to add 65,000 tons in 2018 and 19. So we are already left with 16,000 tons of our earlier target of 60,000 tons. So this 16,000 tons, is it included in that 65, or it is excluding the additional, the existing target? Hello?
It's including. What we do is that we reset the clock at the beginning of each year. So anything that wasn't delivered in the second year of last year's target just gets rolled into the new target. So there's nothing to add to that. I would stress, though, that as Justin said, these are signed contracts.
Yeah.
So we see this really as the minimum performance of the company going forward over the next 2 years. And we'll obviously look to better that through further growth opportunities.
All right. Also, will it be possible for you to tell us exactly in which quarter how much capacity will be coming up?
No, we don't. We don't give a quarterly profile. It's a little difficult to do that because it does depend on when the associated real estate comes on, and that's always difficult to predict, as I'm sure you're aware. So we'll obviously update you each quarter for what we have delivered, but we don't give you a quarter. We don't have a quarterly profile to share with you.
All right. Can you tell us what will be the expansion, what will be the capex for these expansions for 2018 and 19? Can you give us a number for that? And also a breakup between the maintenance capex and the expansion capex, if possible.
Yeah, well, second question first. We don't give a – most of our maintenance capex actually gets expensed because it's not that significant. So we don't have specifics for that. In terms of the total capex associated with those projects, what I would say is if you look at our capex over the last couple of years, it's been around 200 million dirhams a year. And I think that will be more or less what we'd expect to see in general terms going forward over the next couple of years. Now, that, of course, excludes any new projects that we haven't got within these figures, which of course would adjust that number. But that annual number will be sufficient to deliver what we're talking about here.
All right. Also, one more question. You said that the value chain business declined by 27%. Can you just repeat the reasons and would like to understand your outlook going forward for that same business?
Yeah. So in terms of our value chain business, or in the past I used to call them non-core business, we have some supporting businesses in the company, and one of the businesses that we have is a pre-installated manufacturing piping company, and they're manufacturing pipes for district cooling networks. And it's been a hard year for that specific business line, given the market conditions. But what I can say is it is still a bit positive. We're not injecting money into the company. It is operating as a standalone, and we have seen improvement in the sales of the business. In the fourth quarter, these companies we had them as we were expanding and growing significantly, and now they're less significant and to our core chilled water business. So that answers the question.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Riken Gubarni, Bank Muscat. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. I wanted to understand a few things. One is on the revenue growth versus the gross profit growth, which is slightly lower than the revenue growth. Is it because consumption not necessarily leads to any improvement in the gross profit, or is there any other particular factors impacting the gross margins for the company?
You're basically spot on. Yeah, that does reflect a higher share of consumption revenue in the total, which does attract a lower profit margin. So that's the main factor within that.
Okay. So basically what I'm trying to understand is that as and when if there is any improvement in the overall utilization, it should not be leading to any gross profit margin improvement in the future, or is there some view that it can lead to improvement as well, or how should I approach that?
Yeah, well, certainly if we're connecting new customers to existing plants, which is utilizing spare capacity, as you say, that is generally a higher margin business for us than building a new plant, because the costs of providing the service are not significant, and of course the revenues per ton are very similar to other contracts. So generally you will see that effect. But what I would say and add to that is, I wouldn't expect that to have a huge impact on the overall numbers, because we don't have a large amount of capacity to sell. It's significant and it's important to us, but it's not going to move the needle in terms of gross revenues that much.
Understood. The other question that I had was particularly on the working capital cycle. If I look at the receivables particularly, there has been a faster growth there compared to the revenues. If you could basically outline any particular takeaways on the receivable cycle, or any reason why it has been extended during the current year.
Well, first of all, no concerns. That's the first thing to say. The working capital cycle, the working capital level is higher, as you say, but it's timing. And I think we've said on previous calls that we do have to work a little harder to collect our money. There are timing delays of payments, weeks, days and weeks rather than months and years, I would stress. And indeed, most of the increase in receivables that you saw compared to the end of last year
most of the overdue amounts were collected in January. So if we were to look at that number today, it would look rather different. So I would think about this as just the normal ups and downs of working capital, and nothing beyond that. There is no systemic issue. We're not, we're providing an essential service to customers. It's critical. It's an operating cost for them, and they generally pay because they need the service.
Understood. And one last thing I wanted to understand is, from the presentation, I understand that now there are two management positions where NG also is there in the company, plus at the board level. Now that they are in the company for some time, if you could highlight any particular strategy towards or anything around either on cost efficiencies or new business opportunities that can arise over the slightly medium term, because of the engagement and the management roles that they play in the company.
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, NG joined us as a major shareholder, owning 40% of the company towards third quarter last year. And with that, there's certain board representation, and also in terms of the executive management, they have filled to two executive management slots. I mean, I would we are expecting. I mean, having a giant as NG when it comes to an energy player in the world to be adding synergies and benefits to the company. In terms of operational efficiencies and synergies and so forth, and also opening up and looking at opportunities to grow the Tabreed outside our I would say historical GCC comfort zone. So growth and synergies are potential upside. So upsides we'll be looking to achieve. In terms of timing, and can I quantify that now? I mean, the new chiefs, it's been not more than 2 months since they joined us. So it's really hard to give you a number on that early in the stage.
Sure. Thank you. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you that if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Our next question comes from Metehan Mete, Vaha Capital. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations on the good results. My first question is on the... it sounds like a recently announced agreement with the Masdar City. I think there was like you were going to manage a cooling plant there. And in the new statement, you talked about possibility to add there up to 100,000 refrigerated tons of capacity. If there's such a possibility, will it be like, again, a managed cooling plant, or will it be owned and operated by Tabreed in the future? And is it in any way captured into this 65,000 refrigerated ton addition forecast for the 2018 and 19? That's my first question. And my second question is, what's your outlook on the margins going forward? Do we expect any positive or negative surprises for 2018 with the addition of the VAT?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Waha. So, like you rightly mentioned, we signed an O&M agreement, operation and maintenance agreement, to provide services to the cooling plant, providing cooling to the Masdar City in Abu Dhabi. That is a secondary business for Tabreed. It is a plant where we did not build or own. And Masdar has ambitious plans to grow the city, and with the growth of the city, they will be requiring additional infrastructure and additional district cooling. So far, our 65,000 tons guidance does not include anything of the 100,000 tons of planned in specifically in Masdar City. But I think it's also important to mention. I mean, Masdar is a key energy player in the region, and we work closely with Masdar, and we work closely with Masdar Institute of Science and Technology to look at how we can look at new technologies and look at also R&D and how we improve our efficiencies. And operating a plant for Masdar potentially could open doors and could open the path for doing something much bigger with Masdar. So we always keep our options open while working with Masdar. On the margins, go ahead, Steve.
Okay, yeah. Thanks, Kasim. So I think I had two questions, Metehan, one about margins outlook and one about VAT. First of all, margin outlook, you've seen that we've been consistently around the 45-46% level for some time, and I think we should expect that to continue. It may deviate up and down depending on the mix of different types of revenue, a little bit over from year to year, but overall we'd expect the level to be broadly stable. So I don't think you should expect any surprises in that, and you won't see any surprises from VAT impacting margins either, because we will obviously be subject to VAT. We will be a 5%. We're subject to a 5% VAT rate. We will charge 5% VAT to our customers on their invoices, and we will pay 5% VAT to our suppliers when we pay them. And that will give rise to a net amount of VAT, which will be paid over to the federal tax authorities. So for us, it should be largely neutral and no impact on our margins.
Yeah, thank you. And also the 65,000 refrigerated ton addition plans, I guess most of them will be in associates and JVs rather than the consolidated business.
No, the split for the 65 over the next 2 years is 50-50. So 50 at a consolidated level and 50% at the JV and associate level.
Sure, yeah. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Sherif Baha, Almal Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen, for the call. This is Imad Shukralla from Amwal Capital Partners. I have two small questions. One is a bit related to the VAT was just asked. How much do you expect average prices to go up by for your customers, like what you charge your customers, given that a lot of it is linked to the CPI, which gets impacted by VAT across the region? Do you expect a much higher increase this year, the price increase that you will charge your customers, irrespective of the pass-through VAT? That's the first question. And the second one is, we saw in the news the transaction of Emicool and DIC a couple of weeks back, and I was just curious to get your view on it, given that it seems it was conducted at around the 1.4 times book. Any view just on pricing and just if you were interested in that asset or not?
So I'll start with the second question on the Emicool and DI. The Emicool transaction was something that was between two existing shareholders. Where UP sold its 50% stake to DI, and Tabreed has no part in that, and in terms of valuations, I mean it's a market, and they can value it as they like. Nevertheless, as a company, we're always looking for opportunities to grow. Earlier in 2017, we acquired the Nation Towers coating plant in Abu Dhabi, and we continue to look for opportunities to grow. That addresses your second question. On the first question, when it comes on VAT and CPI and increase to customers, like Steve mentioned, our prices have gone up in line with the tax authority, 5%. Our capacity and consumption, the total bills have gone up 5%. And with regards to CPI, our customers' capacity component tariffs, majority will be increased in line with the CPI that is announced also by the UAE.
So just to clarify, it's not that a customer who has a connected capacity right now, he will have an increase which is linked to CPI, which this year probably will be higher than previous years, given that CPI is going to be higher in general. And then on top of it, there is VAT. That is not the case, or it's only the increase and there's no VAT on top of the increase.
So a customer is going to pay a 5% increase on the total charges that Tabreed is invoicing. So that, regardless of CPI or what CPI is or not, VAT is 5%, and customers have to pay that. In addition, VAT this is just recently announced. But in our contracts, in the majority of our contracts, our contracts, the capacity component of our contracts, it is escalated with the CPI, which is when announced, which will be applied to that. So on top of CPI, that is VAT. Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you that if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you that if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have no other question. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion.
Thank you for joining us for the full year earnings call. That concludes our 27 earnings call. We will be attending multiple investor events during the rest of the year, and we look forward to meeting you then. You can find further details on the last slide of the presentation. And should you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to contact us. We have our contact details on the presentation. Have a great day and goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.